is peace and contentment in the Father's house. Today, lots of food on his table, and no one is turned away. There is singing.
Lies a field of golden grain, and it's white unto harvest, but the reapers, where are they? In the house, oh, can't the children hear the father sadly say?
Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 19 this morning. Chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, we're going to read verses 11 through 16 this morning. I'm going to read aloud as you read along silently. That's Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16. As you're finding your place, or if you've already found it and you're able, please stand to your feet as we read the Word of God together this morning. Revelation chapter 19, and beginning at verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this passage, an awesome, all-aspiring passage. God, wow, what you're going to do is amazing. Help us as the challenge in song this morning, and then the challenge from the Word of God to be better Christians for being here today. Use this today, the Word of God, to help us. We need you today. Now, Father, we pray for our pastor. We pray you'd anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power. Touch his body, heal his body. Lord, and we pray that if somebody listening on the internet or in this room today does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they would settle it today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, make sure your cell phone is turned off, please, or to silent or whatever is necessary. I was reading in Acts 5 this morning about Ananias and Sapphira and how that when they came to give an offering at the church, they lied to God and God killed them. We would hate to see a reenactment of that in relation to cell phones, so please help us today. The ushers, they've got all got bad backs, and we'd hate to drag anybody out of here. So just turn it off or turn it to silent or whatever the case may be and sit and listen for a few moments. You know what you just read in Revelation 19? You read about an event that is to come. Jesus is coming again. Yeah, that's right. His coming again is in two parts. He will come for his own. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the trumpet of God sounds, dead in Christ rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's when he comes the first time. He comes for his own. His foot will not set down on this earth. We who are alive and remain are saved, know Christ at that moment, that twinkling of an eye. That's 1/500th of a second. Jesus gets from heaven to the clouds. We're caught up, the bodies of the saints, not the saints, their bodies, are raised, changed, caught up to meet the Lord in the air and back to heaven in 1/500th of a second, the twinkling of an eye. That's the first phase, first part of Jesus' return. He comes for his own. What you just read is phase two. He comes with his own. That army that's behind him that comes with Jesus. Now listen, this return is where Jesus comes back and puts his foot down on this earth and establishes it through the United Nations and peace agreements. Oh, if you read your Bible close now, look at it. And this ain't the message, but this is too fun to pass up. It says in verse 11, I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was faithful and true, and in righteousness he does judge and make peace. Is that what your Bible says? No, Jesus makes peace by making war first. He has to clear some things out to get some things right. Oh, but he will. And he will judge by using the word of God that goes out of his mouth. This world, hey, look at me. This world without permission is going to have to live by the word of God. By the living word of God, Jesus. By the written word of God, your Bible. Jesus is going to establish his rule and reign upon this earth. So look at me carefully now. Look at me. Just a sidebar thought on this little wing ditty here before we get into the real message. It's this. You better get used to the fact that one of these days you're going to have to live under the word of God. Better go ahead and just get right with it now. Let's go ahead and decide we're going to do what the Bible tells us to now. That day will be a lot sweeter then, I guarantee you. But the point is this. So he's coming back, riding on a white horse. He's got armies behind him. He's coming to this earth. He's going to judge. He's going to make war. He's going to establish it. They will bring peace. By superior force, by the way. But he will bring peace. And it says in verse number 12, the message this morning is this. But he's wearing many crowns. Do you see that? Look at verse 12, please. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. You know, a crown in the Bible symbolizes royalty, doesn't it? Symbolizes sovereignty, a position of power. A crown sometimes in the Bible represented accomplishment and achievement. Sometimes a crown in the Bible represented status, a thing of standing. So these crowns are on his head. How many are there? We don't know. We do know this. The Bible says there are many crowns. When he returns, can I tell you something? Look at me. This is a little different than the first time he came here. Just a few months, we'll celebrate Christmas. Fat guy riding a sleigh with a bunch of reindeer and a guy with a red nose. And we're going to sell. And that's okay, the Santa thing. My grandkids are scared to death of Santa Claus. I don't know why. I can't imagine. I just don't know where they got that. No, we're going to celebrate. No, Jesus wasn't born on December the 25th. We know that. We know when he was born, don't we, church? When was Jesus born? September the 12th. We know that. We're almost certain that it was September the 12th. Theologically and chronologically, we've just about got it nailed down. Somewhere between September 11th and September 13th is when Jesus was probably born. But here's the thing. We're going to celebrate his coming. He came the first time. He came to a manger, a feeding trough, in a barn, to a humble family, a pure mother, Joseph, his stepfather, handful of shepherds, a bunch of animals. Angels announced his coming. He walked this earth for 33 homesick years, then went to the cross and gave his life for us. Went to the grave, and 3 days later he rose from the dead. His first coming was very, very humble. This one hasn't got an ounce of humility in it. No, he's coming back wearing many crowns. What are the many crowns of Jesus this morning? First of all, there's the crown that he forfeited. Listen this morning. I want you to keep your place in Revelation 19 as I read these scriptures to you, if I may please. Here in the Philippians chapter 2, this is a part that we need to listen. This is the real Christmas account. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. His first crown he forfeited, that one of those crowns. See, when Jesus came to this earth, he didn't just show up as a baby in a manger. Jesus is God the Son and the Son of God. He is pre-incarnate God in the human flesh. Christ left heaven, gave up the rights and privileges, made himself of no reputation, set up all these right people. I got my rights. I want my rights. Okay, fine. We should be treating people justly, fairly. I get that. But everybody shouldn't get the rights, because if everyone gets the rights, nobody gets the rights. But Jesus wasn't concerned about his rights. He was willing to set aside the privilege of his deity. He didn't stop being God. He set aside the privileges of deity and set aside the crown that he had when he reigned in heaven as God the Son with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. He set that aside to come to this earth, flee to the crimson womb of Mary, pure virgin young woman, flee to that miraculous conception put in her womb that God did in her body, and flee to that, and then be born in human flesh and walk this earth and know what it means to be lost and be suffered and have difficulty and have troubles and have battles and be rejected and have the difficulties of life. He knew all of that, but he set aside that crown. That one he forfeited for us. He was willing to give that aside for us. Now, can I say this to you this morning, my friend? Then let's not get all concerned about whatever he expects from us. What do you say? What do you say we're not going to say, well, that's just a little too much to ask of me? Excuse me, you're never going to give up as much as he gave up for you. He forfeited that crown and set it aside in his life so he could come and be what we needed him to be, which is not an example. We needed a Savior. God sent the Son of God, Jesus Christ, to come and be our Savior for us. He set aside his rights and privileges, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. To do that, he had to set aside that privilege that he had in glory. There's the crown that he wore. Oh, by the way, and he picked it back up when he got back to heaven. It only took 33 years. But God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, the Bible says. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He set aside his rights and privileges. One of those crowns, I believe, is the crown he forfeited. One of those crowns is the crown he was given. That crown he received in Pilate's judgment hall when they were declared that Jesus was king of the Jews. Well, these Roman soldiers thought they'd make a joke of the whole thing. So one of them, it says three times in each of the, once in each of the three gospels, that they plaited a crown of thorns. Now, the thorns of Palestine are about 4 to 6 inches long. They use them for literally puncturing leather and doing that kind of work. They plaited a crown of thorns out of that. And while Jesus was there being judged for our sins, they didn't just set it on his head. They pushed it down on his head, took a reed and beat it until it dug into his flesh. And he bore a crown of thorns to the cross. That was the crown he was given by us. You say, no, you mean by the Roman soldiers. No, we covered that last week, talking about the nails in his hands and his feet. Our sin nailed Jesus to the cross. Everything that happened to him and the judgments that he faced before mankind, where he was declared innocent but guilty, all of those judgments, those are ours. All the cat of nine tails that ripped the flesh from his body and the beatings that he took and then the disgrace of being stripped naked and hung like a criminal on a cross out in a public place, all of that Jesus bore for us. Those crown of thorns he wore that in our place. He wore that mockery of what people would say about him. He wore that. He took it upon himself. That was a crown that he was given. And as far as I'm concerned, ladies and gentlemen, and I believe I can answer for the Lord on this one, that's exactly how he feels about people who belittle what he did for us when he went to the cross. By saying you have to live a good life to get to heaven. You got to be good to go to heaven. You got to do good to go to heaven. You got to hold out faithful to go to heaven. You got to live right to go to heaven. That mocks him. That mocks the price Jesus paid when we plaited the crown of thorns by our sin and jammed it down upon his brow. But he took that crown of thorns and he wore that for us when he went to Calvary. And on his head were many crowns. I wonder if one of them is the crown of thorns that he took. Revelation chapter 4 tells us one day that the door of heaven will be open. And the trumpet, the voice of great trumpet will sound and we'll be caught up together. And we'll stand before a rainbow throne, not for judgment, but for examination. And then after that, the Bible says we receive crowns for what we did for him. And then the Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, we cast those crowns at his feet. Now, I'm sorry, but most people say that's casting crowns at Jesus' feet. There's even a great song about that. Truth is, that's not Jesus on the throne at that time. It's the Father. But they who cast their crowns of accomplishment in this life are not going to walk around in heaven wearing a crown before the one who just gave them the right to be there. And by the way, everything we accomplish is by the grace of God, with the grace of God, through the grace of God, because of the grace of God, under the grace of God, willingly through nurtured by the grace of God, carried by the grace of God. And hey, friend, let me tell you something. It's still amazing grace. How sweet the sound. We're not going to go to heaven and stand in front of the Lord and say, hey, look at my crown. Look what I got. I got this crown. I got that crown. We're going to take one look at the Father on the throne, the Savior standing there, and take that crown and cast it at his feet and say, everything I have, I owe to Jesus. Well, would that be one of the crowns he wears there? The crown that we give him because we say, man, everything I am, I owe to Jesus. Is that how you still think? Is that still in your mind? Is that still cross your mind when you achieve something, when you accomplish something, when you do something by your effort and your labor and your character and your diligence? And yes, thank you for being a hard worker and thank you for accomplishing something and thank you for achieving something in your life. But do you still owe it all to Jesus? You still owe him everything you are and have? He wears the crown that we gave him. And on his head were many crowns. Then there's the crown I believe he wears that he earned. In the games of those days, the Olympic Games are centuries old. When an athlete completed a contest and won and was victorious over everything, he was brought to the seat called the Bema seat. And there he would receive an olive wreath of a crown that would be placed on his head. But it would be placed on his head, given him in front of everybody else, that he was the victor in that game. Well, see, then that's one of the crowns Jesus no doubt will be wearing because, oh, that's a crown he has earned. Only in our particular case, ladies and gentlemen, our victorious Savior is this. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the crown he'll be wearing, friend. One of them is the crown that he has earned. He punched a hole in death and rose from the dead and ascended back to the Father and ever lives to make intercession for us. He is our victorious Savior. Thank both you Methodists. Ladies and gentlemen, look at your preacher this morning. Let me tell you something. I understand it's a Sunday morning, and I understand we're all in church today, and I understand most of you believe the Bible, and most of you have heard this kind of stuff before. Could I just give you a little thought this morning? How dare we ever take this kind of thing for granted? That's wrong. It's wrong for us to sit and listen to a sermon about a resurrected living Savior who punched a hole in death to take us there and conquered sin and death and hell for us. And then we go, yeah, okay, that's fine. No, it's not fine. It's wonderful. It's amazing. It's incredible. It's unbelievable. We have an incredible Savior this morning who's returning, and he has a crown of a victor because Jesus is victory. I don't mind priming my own pump. I don't care. I'm sick and I'm medicated. See, Pastor, why don't you just stay home today? Well, most people wish I would on any given Sunday, but healthy or not. Man, I preached here one Sunday. I had a horrible case of bronchitis and a horrible case of diarrhea. You want to talk about a miracle Sunday? That was a miracle Sunday. I said, dear God in heaven, if I cough one time, it's done. Please, Lord, you got to help. See, that's sad. Most of you are paying better attention to that lousy stinking illustration than the whole message I preached up to this point. I wore a brown suit just in case. Here's the thing. Truth of the matter is, friend, look at me. He's wearing a victor's crown. Go on, you little punk, Putin. Go on. Yeah, go ahead and slaughter people like animals. Go on, Hitler. Go on. Go on, Stalin, Mao. Murder millions of your own people while you enriched yourself with the things of this life. Go on, you little dictators and your little despots. The little people who run around thinking they're just God themselves in their little human flesh. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is coming back wearing the victor's crown. Yeah. Are you on the winning side? And then there's the crown that he presents. Revelation 19, verse 13. I asked you to stay there. Here's why. Look at verse 13 again. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Verse 14, the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. Notice your King James Bible caps, all caps. King of kings, Lord of lords. Yeah, one of those crowns is Jesus is presenting to this world. He is the King. He is Lord of all lords. He is the King of all kings. By the time, you understand, ladies and gentlemen, mankind makes so much of their accomplishments and their achievements. And I'm thankful for that. Our lives have been enriched and made better because people have striven in their lives to accomplish something that betters mankind and betters humanity. Then there's that whole section of humanity who's just enriched themselves, just to take care of themselves and provide for themselves and build monuments to themselves and all those sorts of things. When Jesus comes back, one of his many crowns is the one he presents as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now let's get this straight in our thinking this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Why we live in a world today ruled and run by people, in many cases, people who aren't worthy of the position they hold. They don't earn that. They haven't earned it. They don't deserve it. They continue to do things that are contrary to this book and make our life difficult because of what they do and say and dictate and laws that they pass and all that sort of stuff. Well, I got news for you this morning, my friend. You get your head up. You understand it? You get your head up. Lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus Christ is coming back, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And he's not asking permission. He is taking what's rightfully his. What you and I need to be doing, ladies and gentlemen, is get on that side of the Lord Jesus Christ now. We're not advocating insurrection. We're not advocating rebellion. We're not advocating attacking the Capitol. We're not advocating attacking the governor's mansion. Don't worry, folks. They're going to hire 85,000 IRS agents who will join the rest of them who don't know what they're doing. It's not a problem. The truth of the matter is, by getting on his side now, I mean this. Number one, are you saved and are you certain? Knowing Jesus and believing in him is one thing. Knowing him as your Savior, that's something else. That's a simple moment of faith where you, by faith in Christ, trust him alone for your salvation. Then you're going to get on his side by salvation through Christ. Then, you know what? Whether you live like it or not, you belong to him. But we ought to live in such a manner as to not displease him. Biblical Christianity has never been popular, never has been, never will be. See, well, I know Christians who, you know, they do well in the entertainment world, in the sports world, and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, I guess, look at their life. Look what they've sold out. Look how they've sold out. Look how they've given up real truth, if they ever knew what biblical Christianity was. No, I'm sorry. Even sometimes in our own families, it's not popular to live by the Word of God and live for the Son of God. But you see, now, they're not coming back to rule and reign. Jesus is. So I think I'll just go ahead and decide to live on his side now. I want to go ahead and live by his will now. I want to go ahead and live by his word now. I'm not perfect at it. I'm not everything I'm supposed to be, but I'll tell you what, I've kind of gauged myself, and this may sound a little strange to some of you folks, but the bottom line is, the more I find the world doesn't like me, the more I find God does. The more unacceptable I am to that stuff out there, the more acceptable I am to him. All that we live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. They're not going to be happy with us doing what we're supposed to do, but he'll be happy, and that's all that matters, because after all, we're on the winning side here. So let's just go ahead and get this right. One day Jesus Christ is going to bust that eastern sky, come riding back on that white horse. That's right. Coming back, riding back to this earth to set his foot down, establish himself, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Say, yeah, but that's someday, Pastor Johnson. That's someday for this world, but it ought to be today for you. And if he's willing to wear all those crowns to be what we need him to be, can't we just go ahead and decide to live for his pleasure now and what he would ask of us now? Instead of someday thinking. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning, would you?